On the block, on demand.
Without Jack and Earl, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
DeVito, pop pass, end zone, touchdown, and the ball game. DeVito, in relief, wins it for the Orange.
They don't know about the kumbaya meetings we had this week.
Swing and a miss. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Josh Allen, touchdown Buffalo. A 14-yard quarterback draw.
Somebody in Vegas told them they were going to win by 20.
And the celebration begins.
This is On the Block.
Right, you know, there's validity in that opinion.
Here's X-Men.
Nate. ESPN Radio, 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica-Rome, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing, on this cold, rainy, wet, here comes fall slash winter. What would we morph those words into, right? It's not quite fall in those beautiful fall crisp days. It's not quite winter. It's not quite, hey, get the heavy coats out. But there's a chill in your bones today. It's that kind of day in the queue. So wherever you are today, it's probably not outside, but if you are, wherever you are, you can take us with you on the ESPN app. Great way to stay in touch wherever you go. Another amazing way to participate in the program, to tickle all the senses, if you will. Oh, yeah. Tickle all those
That's hot.
Senses, baby. Twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. It's a great way to watch the show, first of all. Hello, Twitch friends. You can see into the inner sanctum here, the visual video experience of the program. There is a live chat at twitch.tv/QSportsTalk where you can opine as much as you want throughout the program. And you also get, like, the show within the show. When the radio goes to commercial breaks, we keep the mics on Twitch. It's the internet. Sometimes we say naughty words. It's amazing. There's a great community of people that come by on Twitch. I don't want to leave anybody out, but our boy Jimmy CBW and Kid Coles and, see, I'm going to leave some names out here that come. Our guy Kevin from Liverpool and just another people that just kind of drop in and out, don't always comment, but they're hanging with us on Twitch. Sorry if I left some names out. They'll yell at me in the chat anyway that I left their name out. Come by, hang. It's a good time. Twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Football Friday, ladies and gentlemen. We are ready to roll. Now, bit of a programming change. For those of you that anticipate and listen in this hour of the show, for our friend Benny Heisler from Sports Illustrated, who joins us to discuss the world of gambling and the world of fantasy football, Ben is still going to join us today. Ben had a little bit of a scheduling conflict today, though, so he is going to join us at 5:35. Well, regular listeners to the show know, well, Brent, that's usually when you do the blind side, right? That it is. Well, we're going to pull a little switcheroo. We're going to do the blind side this hour. So those of you here in the 4 o'clock hour that usually don't get the blind side, you're going to get that. 5 questions from Seth Goldberg under tight deadline to get the blind side questions done. So we'll do the blind side at 4:20. We'll talk to Benny Heisler later in the program. Okay, so a little switcheroo. Ben had to switch some things around. We're cool with that. We're flexible. We go with the flow. So we're looking forward to getting that fantasy and gambling advice from Benny Heisler from Sports Illustrated just a little later than usual. He's going to join us at about 5:35. We'll do some hot takes, including our friend Carmelo Anthony dissed by the Denver Nuggets. What happened there? We'll tell you about it. The NFL Blitz on the way on this Football Friday. Everything you need to know about Week 6 in the National Football League. Of course, Syracuse and Liberty at the Dome. Tomorrow morning, come hang with me. I'll be with you here. Working on the weekend, the Amtrak Syracuse football pregame show presented by Ferone and Son Funeral Home and Charles Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. 10 o'clock tomorrow, we will lead you right up until kickoff, a 12 nooner between Syracuse and Liberty. at the Dome. We certainly won't wait till then to discuss that game. What do you say we do it now? I take no pride in saying this. I take no pleasure in saying this, but I'm going to say this. As it has been said many times as a Star Wars fan, and it should be duly noted, by the way, that just because they said this in the movies didn't always mean it came to fruition. But I've got a bad feeling about this. Now, I've predicted Syracuse to win this game, and I'm going to stand by that prediction. I certainly think even with the decimation of the roster, even with less than 60 scholarship players available to Syracuse, and even some players that are available and will be playing, they're not exactly at 100%. I'm curious to see where Sean Tucker's ankle injury is. I'm curious to see even players that are out there. Jeff Kantner-Ku, Dino Babers on his program last night saying he's got an owie and is he going to play? It's just, there's a lot of owies right now, even for the available players, let alone the players that are not, most notably, of course, Tommy DeVito and Andre Sisco. Okay. All that being said, I think Syracuse has a roster capable of beating Liberty. What's going to happen from here, especially with Clemson next week? I seriously think Syracuse should petition Clemson to say, hey, Dabo, can you only play the second stringers next week? Can you bench Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne and these guys? Take it easy on us. Like, that's how dire the roster situation is. I'm only half kidding when I say that, by the way. I still think Syracuse can, should, and will beat Liberty, but I can't escape not only the bad feeling I have, but the familiar feeling I have. Because if tomorrow turns out to be a game that Syracuse loses to Liberty, you would be fair to point out that this is a roster that's lost a lot of key players. You'd be fair to point that out. You wouldn't be wrong to point that out. But what I'm here to point out is it won't matter. What I'm here to point out is pick a time. 10, 15, 20 years from now, no one will remember how decimated this roster was, nor will they care. What they will remember is that you lost to Liberty. You lost to a team that just entered the FBS level. You lost to a team that you put on your schedule thinking it was an easy win. You lost to Liberty. That's what they will remember. And that's all they will remember. Case in point, the bad, familiar, however you want to label it, feeling that I have right now harkens back to what I think would be the worst loss Syracuse would have if they were to lose tomorrow, which, again, my prediction is I don't think they will, but if it happens, I think you got to go back to 2008. I think you got to go back to the home opener that year. I think you got to go back to when Syracuse lost to Akron. This loss would be right up there with that one. So whatever lines you want to draw, worst loss in program history, worst loss in the Carrier Dome era, it would certainly be the worst loss under Dino Babers. I kind of have that feeling about this game. So I went back. Because, again, as time fades, you forget certain things. The detail you remember distinctly, and will always remember, they lost to Akron. And that was the official end of the Greg Robinson era. Not that a win would have saved him, but it was the home opener, and, you know, they had a last gasp year, and perhaps they could have salvaged something, but we all knew. Like, it's over. So I'm not saying that about the head coach here. We're not there yet. You may be there, but I don't think we're there, generally, big picture-wise. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying about the connections between these two games being the fates of the head coach. We're not there. The same feelings that I have, and it was funny, when I went back, so I read some of my columns leading up to that week, and I spent that week on the radio and writing a few things on Syracuse.com. Saying, look, I think Akron could win this game. I've got a bad feeling about this. I couldn't shake the feeling. It's the same feeling I had this week. And I didn't even look this stuff up until about an hour and a half ago. but I've had this feeling. I've expressed it on the air this week. So it was interesting to me that I had said throughout that week that, boy, don't discount the fact that Syracuse could lose to Akron. And they did. But what do you really remember about that game? Like, without Googling it, without looking it up, who was the quarterback for that game? Who was the quarterback for Syracuse against Akron? I'll give you a second to think about it. Don't Google it. Don't look it up if you don't remember. Do you remember who the quarterback was? Cameron Dantley. Cameron Dantley was the quarterback of this team, who took over for Andrew Robinson, kind of a hand-selected quarterback in the Greg Robinson era, no relation, of course. Cameron Dantley made a second career start for the Orange that day. He actually had a pretty good game, threw three touchdown passes. Syracuse actually ran the ball really well against Akron. 143 yards on 21 carries for who? Who was the running back that day? Without looking it up, without Googling, without cheating, who was the running back? It was Curtis Brinkley. This was the Curtis Brinkley, DeLon Carter era. Okay. Well, DeLon Carter actually had a pretty decent game. He had 88 yards. So Syracuse ran the ball well. Cameron Dantley, at least on the surface, played pretty well, but he also turned the ball over a couple times, literally tripped over his own feet. It was somewhat of a game for a while. Akron scored two touchdowns down the stretch, and Akron winning this game 29-28 would have been significant. They won 42-28. They dominated this game, in a sense. Like, they came in as the team picked to finish last in the MAC conference and knocked Syracuse out. So that, to me, is a standout, embarrassing, no way you should lose to that team type of game. I feel the same way about Liberty. Liberty's got talent. I think Malik Willis is going to be a handful tomorrow. I think he's emerging as one of the better dual-threat quarterbacks out there. He's the 16th leading rusher in the country right now as a quarterback. Now, to be fair, you know, there's only, what, 76 teams playing right now as opposed to the usual 120-plus, but that's still pretty good. Josh Mack, the running back from Pittsburgh, is the third leading career rusher in the country right now behind Travis Etienne and another player, I believe, at Birmingham, Alabama Birmingham. I'd have to look that up to be sure. I know it's an Alabama school. He's a good running back, and as Chris Carlson did a nice job laying out today on Syracuse.com and writing the story, the family, Syracuse fans, never could really make that connection. He wanted to go to Syracuse, started at Maine, ends up at Liberty. He's going to be pretty motivated tomorrow. And given Syracuse's struggles to stop the run, could have a big day tomorrow. Top to bottom, even with the injuries, though, Syracuse's Jimmies and Joes should beat Liberty's, particularly on the back end, particularly defensively, particularly with the speed at wide receiver. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to bang the drum, throw the ball to the darn tight ends. Why wouldn't you in this case? Rex Culpepper's in for Tommy DeVito. The running game is still kind of iffy. Tucker's not 100%. I would think you can run the ball with Mackenzie Pierre, Sean Tucker, and whoever else is going to be out there given the injury situation with this team on Liberty's defense. But weirder things have happened. Right? Weirder things have happened. You should win this game. But if they don't, if for some reason Liberty can come in and pull this thing off, to me it's right up there with Akron. It's right up there. It's just an inexcusable loss. Because you can call me heartless. You can call me whatever you want to call me. You can say whatever you want to say. 10 years from now, no one's going to remember how injured this team was unless they did what I did. You Google it, you read a few stories, you get into the details, you pull back some layers, and a lot of oh yeah moments happen. What you will remember, if it's brought up 10 years from now, is that Liberty won the game and beat an ACC opponent for the first time in 9 tries. Right now, Liberty is 0-8 against the ACC, and they've lost those games by an average score of 39-19. Right now, Liberty comes in as the freshest member, the newest, shiniest member. Their membership card has not faded in their wallet yet as being an FBS football team. They just got elevated to that level 3 years ago. This is their moment. This is their big time. I put some of the quotes in my column today on Syracuse.com, but suffice it to say, they remember last year's game. Suffice it to say, they sense the moment here. They sense Syracuse is weak. There's blood in the water. There's key players out. And they not only could have a moment in terms of a program-defining win since moving up to this level, their first win against a big-time major conference team. If Liberty beats Syracuse, they're going to be ranked next week, potentially. They got about 8 votes in the AP poll and some crossover in the coaches' poll. Even with Syracuse down and even with the voters in the AP poll recognizing they're down, if Liberty goes to 5-0 with a win over Syracuse, that could vault them in the poll. That's what's on the line tomorrow. And what else is on the line is Syracuse just salvaging something of a season that's quickly becoming a lost year because of the injuries, because of the attrition, because of they just can't match up with some of these teams that are upcoming on their schedule. But you can match up with this team, and you cannot let them have their moment. Can't do it. So while the circumstances are not exactly the same, there are some parallels between this and when Syracuse lost to Akron in 2008. And some of you have brought that up, and I don't think the comparisons broadly are apt to say this kind of feels like the Robinson era versus some things we're doing now, but there's others I can't push back on. There's elements, certain elements, and I'm just like, yeah, I can't disagree with you there. So let's hope that the comparison of this was the Akron moment of the Dino Babers era was merely a topic of discussion on a Friday radio show and doesn't become a thing that lasts forever. 437-7644, if you want to get on board, Brent Axe Media on Twitter, the live chat, flowing on Twitch throughout. So as noted, top of the show, we're going to flip things around a little bit because our usual guest in our next slot, Ben Heisler on Football Fridays, had to move to a different part of the show. So we're going to do the Blind Side next, a little treat for our listeners this time of the day that maybe don't usually get to hear that segment. And we'll talk to Benny later on. I do want to get a phone call in here before we take a break because I see Mark is in lovely Fairmount, New York, and ready to talk some Syracuse football. Mark, happy Friday. How are you?
Hey, Brent, how's it going, man?
It's good, man. How are you?
Okay. Well, I have a couple of perspectives on the game tomorrow. I think Liberty, given our problems at the O-line, I think they're going to bring the dogs maybe every other play consequently, and that's could possibly create a real problem for Syracuse because, you know, you bring the dogs that consecutively. You know, history has proven we don't have a good established O-line. That could be, you know, like I said, that could be a problem. And one other question, I think Notre Dame has proven their effectiveness this year as far as becoming a full-fledged member of the ACC in football, that is. I would love to see them being added on officially.
I think they've got to come to that realization, right? Like, you're not going to join the Big Ten. Yeah. They're not going to join the Big Ten.
Like
they don't want you, and you're a member and everything else. The world kind of changed, and I'd like to see Notre Dame be a full-time member, and I'd like to see this schedule format go forward. I'd like to see more conference games. Maybe not the 10-1 model, but the 9-2 model would be nice. I just don't think you need 4 non-conference games. Thank you, Mark, for the call. You just don't. I'm with you there. I think Notre Dame's going to be like, yeah, this whole conference thing isn't so bad. You can still make independent revenue being Notre Dame. You can still have your own TV deal with NBC. And it's like, but just join the conference. And on that note, we will break on that note is what I'm trying to say. And again, Ben Heisler later in the program, the Blind Side next. You guys ready for the Blind Side this time of day? 5 questions from Seth Goldberg. We don't know what they are, but we're going to answer them anyway. Let's live dangerously on a Friday. It's our Burdick BMW opening drive. Stay right there.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Back at you on the block, ESPN Radio, Football Friday. Great to have you here, presented by A&P Auto Parts. Let's do it. I'm ready. You ready?
One, two.
We're all ready. Week six in the National Football League. We start with a game we think's going to be played. We hope it's going to be played, but, you know, COVID. Broncos at Patriots. Gillette Stadium, 63 degrees, sun shining in the forecast. Broncos lead this all-time series 30-23, but in this case, the Patriots are favored minus 10. The over-under is 46.5 for the Patriots. Julian Edelman is questionable. Adam Butler is questionable for Denver. KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, Mike Purcell, all listed as questionable in this one. Cam Newton is back. Had the COVID last game in a 26-10 loss to Kansas City. Denver has not played in 2 weeks since a win over the Jets on October the 1st. And now, could this game be hanging in the balance? We shall see. Texans at Titans. Of course, Tennessee coming off that Tuesday night football win over the Buffalo Bills. 60 and sunny. The forecast for that one. Last time, Tennessee won this game 35-14. That was in December of last year. The Titans are favored minus 3.5. The over-under, 53.5. A.J. Brown, Taylor Lewan, both banged up. Jadeveon Clowney, all listed as questionable in this game. Texans relatively healthy. Laremy Tunsil and Jordan Atkins are listed as questionable here. For Houston, we know what Tennessee did. Stop making me talk about that game on Tuesday night. But for Houston, they're coming off their first win of the season against Jacksonville last week. Romeo Crennel, oldest coach in NFL history, by the way, on a football field. Older than George Halas back in the day. Deshaun Watson, 359 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks a week ago. Browns at Steelers. This turned into a great AFC North matchup here. Heinz Field, going to be 48 and cloudy for that one. Pittsburgh won the last matchup between these two in December of last year, 20-13. Steelers are favored minus 5, the over-under 50.5. David DeCastro is listed as questionable for Pittsburgh. For Cleveland, it's been an interesting situation with Odell Beckham Jr. He has symptoms, but does not have COVID. He tested negative for COVID, but he does have an unlisted illness. So we'll see if he's available for this game. Baker Mayfield also listed as questionable. He'll play, though. Ben Roethlisberger last week beats the Eagles, 3 touchdowns. Chase Claypool, a man we're going to ask about when Ben Heisler joins us for our fantasy segment coming up here shortly. But Baker Mayfield, 2 touchdowns. Nice win over the Colts last week. Ravens at Eagles at the Link. 66 and sunny is the forecast. It's a series tied all-time. They've only played 4 times, and it's all even at 2 apiece. Baltimore is favored minus 7.5. The over-under is 47.5. Baltimore pretty healthy. Derek Wolfe, Tyree Phillips are listed as questionable for Philly. Darius Slay, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson all listed as questionable as well. Baltimore's defense held Cincinnati to a field goal last week in a 27-3 win over the Bengals. For Philly, Carson Wentz, he's up, he's down, he's hot, he's cold. He's a Katy Perry song. Wentz, 2 picks in that loss to the Steelers last week. The Washington football team visiting Seth's New York football Giants. 60 and sunny, the forecast for this one. The Giants are favored by 3 with the over-under at 43.5. Darius Slayton, Dexter Lawrence, questionable. Washington, nobody on the injured list. They're all healthy in this one. For the Giants, they were competitive. It was close. It was a fun game to watch, but ultimately lost to the Dallas Cowboys. Daniel Jones did not throw a touchdown last week. Alex Smith played for the first time since his injury in that loss to the Rams for the Washington football team. We're going to see him again in this one against the Giants. Falcons and Vikings in the Dome. Minnesota is favored minus 3.5. The over-under is 54.5. Dalvin Cook, Jaleel Johnson listed as questionable. For Atlanta, Julio Jones, Hayden Hurst, Dante Fowler questionable. Of course, the big story, Dan Quinn fired. Thomas Dimitroff fired. Interim coach leading Atlanta in this one. They had a COVID situation, which turned out to be not as big as we thought, but a little bit of a scare there. Julio Jones, very important for Matt Ryan to have him out there. 226 yards in a pick in last week's loss to Carolina. For Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, 249 yards, 2 touchdowns, but it wasn't enough in that Monday night loss to Seattle, that what was it, 92-yard drive that Russell Wilson had to win that game. Lions at Jags. It'll be 78 and sunny in Jacksonville for this one. It's a game where Detroit is favored by 3. The over-under. I'm inclined to take the under on this one, even though Detroit can score 54.5 for that. Detroit's got Christian Jones and Desmond Trufant listed as questionable. For Jacksonville, DJ Clark, Tyler Eifert, Josh Allen, not the quarterback, the defensive end, all listed as questionable. Detroit, tough one to New Orleans. Back on October the 6th, a game in which Stafford threw for 206 yards. Gardner Minshew, 301 yards, two touchdowns. Remember, they lost to Houston a week ago. Bengals at Colts. Indoors at Indy. Colts favored by 8 in this game. I don't know, that makes me nervous with the way Phillip Rivers is throwing all these near interceptions here. Backdoor cover. Joey Burrow here. I'm feeling on this one. Over-under's 46.5 for the Colts. Justin Houston, Darius Leonard listed as questionable. For Cincinnati, it feels like A.J. Green's been questionable for like the last 5 years. Geno Atkins also listed on the injured list. Phillip Rivers, 243 yards, two picks last week to the Browns. I'm serious when I say this. He easily could have had 6 interceptions in that game. That's how bad Phillip Rivers was. Poor Cincinnati, just couldn't muster any offense, just a field goal last week. Joe Burrow's going to get killed if they do not protect him. And we'll see if the Colts can add to the list of teams putting easy pressure on Joe Burrow. Bears at Panthers. This one's at Bank of America Field in Charlotte. Forecast 68 and sunny for this one. Carolina, a slight favorite. -1. The over-under is 44.5. Brian Burns, Zach Kerr listed as questionable for Carolina. Chicago, all good on the injured list. Teddy Bridgewater, 313 yards, two touchdowns as Carolina. Carolina, 3-0 since Christian McCaffrey went down. That's a bit of a surprise for Chicago. Their last game was that Thursday nighter. Nick Foles coming through again in that one-point win for Chicago. AFC East matchup here, the Jets, Jets at Miami. 84 degrees, a little rain in the forecast at Hard Rock Stadium. Miami is favored by 8 points. 47.5 is the over-under. For Miami, Shaq Lawson, Kyle Van Noy listed as questionable. Two big linebackers there. For the Jets, Sam Darnold, Rashad Perriman, Quinnen Williams. Let's just list the entire Jets roster as questionable for a number of reasons. And, of course, the Le'Veon Bell situation. Miami was on his list, but he ends up in Kansas City. So a Jets team further depleted. This time a guy that just said, yeah, I'm done. Release me, please. Miami's coming off a big win over the Niners. Cockroaches, Twinkies, Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's what will be left on this planet when the nuclear blast goes off. Fitzy, 350 yards, three touchdowns last week. For the Jets, their last matchup on October 11th, a loss to Arizona. No Darnold, Le'Veon Bell out. The Jets, are they going to win a game this year? Who's going to take the Jets to win a game this year? Raise your hand. Packers at Bucks. The Bay of Pigs game, remember that reference? Green Bay is favored by just a point. High over-under here at 55.5. Kevin King is listed as questionable. Tampa Bay's got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jason Pierre-Paul, all listed as questionable. Last game for Green Bay, a win on October the 5th against Atlanta. For Tampa Bay, we mentioned that nail-biter, Nick Foles coming through once again. Tom Brady, remember, you've had time to work on this. There are four downs. 1, 2, 3, four downs. Rams at Niners. Levi Stadium in Santa Clara. 84 degrees and sunshine in the forecast. Los Angeles in the Battle of California here listed as a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under is 50.5. Micah Kizer's listed as questionable. For San Francisco, Quan Alexander, Emmanuel Mosley listed as questionable. For L.A., Aaron Donald, 4 sacks last week against the Washington football team. Jared Goff coming off a game where he threw for 309 yards, two touchdowns for San Francisco. Jimmy G, air quotes, benched last week in that loss to the Dolphins. Defense fell apart. It's predictable every year. One of the two Super Bowl teams in the season that follows just falls apart. Just falls apart. And it looks like the Niners fit that category. Did they bench Jimmy G for his own good, or did they bench Jimmy G because Jimmy G's not good?
Thank you. Bye-bye.